about to enter the Double Dragon Podcast with Shane Greenwood, owner of Double Dragon Gym in the Sutherland Shire, Trent Lawrence, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and active pro Muay Thai fighter, Hugh O'Donnell. Are you ready? Fight!
Fight! Okay, and welcome back to End of the Double Dragon Podcast, episode 55. It's your boy Shane Greenwood here, and with me in the gym, Double Dragon Gym itself, I have Trenton Lawrence.
Hello.
And Hugh O'Donnell.
Hi.
Looking spelt as ever.
He looks faint.
Feeling trim.
So, just right off the bat from here, so talking about like the fight show that I co-promote with my partner Rowan, my business partner that is, not my life partner. And today,
Petro, life partner.
Damn, I wouldn't survive a year that much. But like, we run Fry in the Shire, Muay Thai promotion in Sydney, and our main event is the Fire from the Shire himself, Hugh O'Donnell.
That's myself.
Cutting weight, and he's going to be versing, I think he still goes by the British Terminator.
I think. Well, that's what you asked for on the program, so he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, he probably wants to go by King of the North as well, maybe, after his last Instagram post.
Yeah.
From there, so Oliver Hale from VT1. And this should be a really good bang of a matchup from there. So I think we talked about in the past that, you know, you two met in the amateur ranks.
Yeah.
And Ollie, how was your first loss?
Yeah.
As well.
He handed me an L.
Yeah. But like, guys, I think, what is it? How long ago was that?
3 years.
3 years? Damn.
And a half, yeah.
Damn, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think both of you have got, you know, progressed since then.
And also, you'd hope so, yeah.
But we also hit the pro ranks as well.
Yeah.
From there. And yeah, like, so both of you have a good experience in the pro ranks there, and like on Saturday night we get to see it all over again, but without the pads.
Yeah.
And over five rounds, three minute rounds as well, should be a banger. Been looking pretty good in training so far, mate.
Feeling pretty good in training.
Yeah, it's like, you know, been, you know, the little Instagram video with Ryan there, looking pretty slick, both of you in sync, doing the like the kind of free flowing kind of pads, and athletically, yeah, been working with me. It's been coming along pretty good, also.
Yeah, it's been good prep for this one, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been, I guess, like, the first couple of pro fights were a little bit of a transition of just, like, changing. We haven't changed how we do things a lot, but you've got to kind of accommodate for going longer fights. Like, some people start their pro careers doing three-minute round fights.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really interested. We went, like, first pro fight was 5-3s.
Yeah.
We look for 5-3s whenever we can. So it's pretty much, like, I more consistently train twice a day now.
Mm-hmm.
I train, I did a lot of two-a-days in the amateurs. I train whenever I can train, really. But, I did a lot of two-a-days in the amateurs, but it's pretty consistently twice-a-day thing, training now,
mm-hmm.
getting ready to, just got to say that a little bit more. Got to put a little bit more thought into the strength and conditioning stuff, mm-hmm. I suppose. Like, 15 minutes is a lot of ring time. Can't really just cruise mm-hmm. into, I think when you're following 3x2s and things like that, just get your skill work done and just sort of let the cardio take care of itself. But I think if you're doing it right, it's got to be pretty meticulous for the pros. I know I'm good for the ring time.
Yeah.
I haven't actually done it all the way yet. I've been scheduled for it 2 or 3 times, but we haven't got there yet, but I know I can.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, I think it should be a really good one to showcase everything coming from there, like especially after your Thailand trip as well.
Yeah.
From there. A few little tricks in the bag coming back, really even like a better kind of clinching game now from there. And kicking's been looking awesome also.
I love kicking.
Yeah, kicking ass. All right, cool. So yeah, you got your fight. I've also got two other Double Dragon fighters on as well. So we got Karina, Cardara, Salazar. I haven't really picked the nickname.
Yeah.
That one, I think when you got a name long enough anyway like that, like probably don't need a nickname.
You don't get to, I think we've said on the show before, you don't get two last names and a nickname. It's just greedy.
It's like, let me think.
Announcers are paid by the word.
Jimmy White, he's alright. He floats us a few extras. Yeah, and she, she's lined up the fight as well. She's been looking really good coming up to in her prep Also, I think, you know, basically she's the best situation, like, in terms of, like, you know, job situation seems pretty happy with.
Yeah.
And, like, and also basically, like, her conditioning and, like, you know, nutrition seems to be really on point. And, like, yeah, I couldn't ask for, like, a better prep, really.
Yeah, I think she's really kind of hit her stride in this one. Mm-hmm. Like, she's off the back of kind of doing the smart thing, and she went on a sort of a pretty rough run of form and opted to step away from fighting, which I think a lot of fighters sort of don't have the guts to do sometimes. They just fight because it's what they do, and I can understand where they come from in that, but she opted to just go. Look, I think, like, sometimes in fights, like, you don't get the most out of yourself in the ring, especially in a sport like Muay Thai where it's no one's, especially in amateur, like, it's not your full-time occupation. You've got a lot of other things going on that sometimes you have to go, yeah, I'm not getting the best out of myself in training and in the ring because of other stuff that's going on. So just stepped away, kept training, but just sorted out till she had a good sort of, her situation settled a little bit more. And then I think, yeah, like you said, the training's looking good because of that.
Yeah. And it's like you said as well, like, you know, some fighters from there, they just go, like, you know, on a pretty bad run of form, but they just go, they just keep lining up the fights. They go, no, next one, I'll pull it out of the bag, next one. But sometimes it's like you just got to actually just, yeah, pull it out all together.
Yeah.
And then re-piece it, like, or break it all apart and then re-piece it again from there. And that's more so just, you know, gym time, but also, like, managing stresses, like, you know, training stresses, work stresses, emotional stresses, relationship stresses, anything like that. They all go into, like, a big fucking pot of shit that, like, you have to kind of work out and just basically strain all the bad stuff out from there and hopefully be left with the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, she'll be having a pretty solid fight against a pretty experienced opponent. Well, similar kind of experiences. Like, yeah, you know, they're both in the double-digit marks now and fighting in the amateur ranks. So, we've got Paris Bertenshaw from Muay U, that's owned by Kieran Walsh.
Our friend.
Yeah.
Kieran.
Yeah. Not on Saturday. He ain't my friend on Saturday. But, like, but yeah, Paris seems to be on pretty good form as well. So I think she just recently came back from the WMO Games in Thailand.
Yeah.
Yep. I think, did she have a couple fights or only one fight?
I think she had a couple, but I'm not positive.
Mm-hmm.
I know the final was against Brazil.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there was an opener, but yeah, definitely not an easy fight to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Paris is in wicked form, actually. She looked good.
Yeah.
You know, last few fights on a little bit of a streak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, it's a good kind of clash of styles in terms, like, the both girls go forward. That's what they do. But Paris will be like, you know, have, like, you know, height and reach.
Yeah.
And, but, like, same thing, like, if you kind of just moving forward, then that's Karina's game. Like, getting close.
Yeah.
From there, work that mid-range from there where the leverages aren't as good from that one. So, it'll be, like, one of those fights is really, whoever moves backwards is going to, like, gonna really start feeling the pinch early on. Yeah. But, like, I don't expect the girls to, like, to basically move backwards too early in this fight. There'll be, like, a lot of battling for the position.
Yeah, this one's going to be a scrap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also for our guys as well, for doing his first proper amateur fight from there is Luke Taylor. Been going around, maybe T-Pain.
I think T-Pain will stick.
It should be good.
Yeah.
It might be considered as racist as well, but, you know, it's good fun.
Oh, because it's a rapper?
Yeah.
Oh, why is it racist?
Luke's got dreads, he's got dreads, you know what I mean?
How is it racist? It's factually correct, isn't it?
And it's like, he's got his last name's T, he brings the fucking pain, damn it.
It fits.
I don't know what the T stands for, but I'll make something up for it.
Taylor,
yeah,
that's
his last
name. Taylor Payne. I just
assumed. What does T-Paint stand for?
I don't know. Well, it's Taylor. It's like Taylor brings the pain.
You feel like, you know, Brian Ortega, T-City, you know? He's like the T stands for Triangle.
Well, hang on. What is it? Triangle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Triangle City. So I didn't know that.
All right. So, like, yeah. So, Luke Taylor, looking really good in his development day fights.
Yeah.
And he's just that new breed of the gym as well. Like, you know, like, like, you know, Double Dragon first started, it was a kickboxing only gym. Like, when I fought, like, there wasn't many Muay Thai fights, and we weren't proactively searching Muay Thai fights either. Like, you know, basically it was kickboxing and, Muay Thai, yep.
Yeah, we did some Muay Thai.
So it goes from there. And same for, like, you know, when, but then you got the other, like, era from there, like, which is, like, yourself and Luke, where it's, like, there's a lot more Muay Thai, the full Thai rules going through. There wasn't many development days, but they were just beginning.
Yeah.
And now Luke's part of the process where, like, development days are already set in place. You're getting elbow fights straight off the bat majority of the times as well.
Yeah, which is good.
And like, in, you see how, especially how he fights, like, it's really, like, composed. It's a kind of counterfighter kind of role from there. It's, like, takes his time. And it's, like, he looks like a really good, like, like almost like a tricky kind of fighter as well into it. And yeah, it should be really interesting to see him, like, you know, outside the development days in his fight. Like, so basically it'd be the 10-ounce gloves, the elbow pads, the headgear, and nothing else.
Yeah, no shin guards or anything like
no
that.
No shin guards, no chest plates from there. And like, yeah, it should be a really solid fight for him. He's up against a pretty experienced boy from SRG, Tomas.
Originally, we'll leave it at that. We're not going to try with the last name.
Sorry. Yeah, it's like Tomas. But like, he's had a few padded fights in back in his hometown, home country of Poland.
Yeah.
But I also seen him fight in nationals as well. So like, he's no stranger to the ring, either. I don't know if he's had an actual like unpadded fight.
Yeah,
also.
He has.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many, but he's had at least one. I saw him on a St. Mary's Day once.
Yeah, cool. And like, yeah, and it should be good kind of clash. It should be like a good outing for both boys. Also, like, you know, it's just it's good to see this kind of new era of, like, you know, fighters in New South Wales Muay Thai coming through. It's like really exciting.
Yeah.
So like, if you're in town on Saturday night, from there, come see the show. From there, afterwards, hang out with all three of us, because Trent's gonna be helping out at the show as well.
I don't know what I'm doing.
It's like he's just there running around with the headgear on and goes, "What's good? What do?" From there. But like, but yeah, and there'll be a couple of fighters on the show that are actually fans of the podcast also. So I think like Jake Davis is one of them. From there, he's from All Sorts Wong. Ollie Hell actually listens as well. So if you're listening now, Ollie, hi.
Hi,
see you on Saturday.
See you there, mate. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, at the Wayne's as well. Alright, but yeah, like, come down and see the show. It's at Cronulla Sharks Leagues Club. Doors open at 6, fights start at 7, and I reckon we're probably going to be like about a 10:30 finish. We only got 9 fights from there, but they're good fights.
Yeah,
cool, awesome. So let's go into a little bit of recaps, and then we'll go a little bit of, like, you know, basically breakdowns of stuff's going to happen in the future. So recently just passed was a UFC in Russia event from there, headlined by not so Uberim, Alistair Overeem, and what was the other, Olenek?
Yeah.
He's like the guy, the Ezekiel guy.
Yeah.
He likes to do the Ezekiels from closed guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weird, that's a bizarre move.
And he tried to set it up, I noticed, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he definitely
like
set it
right
up.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, straight away. He didn't screw around. He pretty much pulled guard, didn't he, on Overeem?
He knows his move.
Yeah.
He knows his play.
But Overeem was obviously, he'd done his homework and pretty much countered the setup. Yeah,
we might as well just talk straight into it there. So, like, you know, there's a couple of other fights on that card, but, like, that was the main event from that one. So, I think, Trent, you mostly watched that?
Yeah, just that one. And I watched the women's fight on the card, the Roxanne Modafari fight.
Right.
Just because I've followed her for a while. And
Happy Warrior.
Yeah, the Happy Warrior.
In there, actually, from Roxanne.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really ground her way into the UFC. Like, she's a real... I think she's considered a trailblazer for women's MMA because she's fought in it for so long.
Yeah.
And she's finally ground her way through, I think, Invicta and onto the UFC.
She was on that season of The Ultimate Fighter where they debuted the strawweights. I think she was strawweights at the time. Yeah. She was on that season.
Okay.
And then I think lost her fight in the finale, went back to Invicta, and is now back in the UFC.
Yeah.
So, like, she's done the long road.
Yeah.
More than once.
That's right.
She's a comeback queen.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go into the over fight a little bit. So I think that go one round.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, pretty standard for an Overeem fight.
Yeah.
But how did it go down? So it was from the onset.
Well, the Ezekiel didn't work.
Yeah.
So it was on the feet from there. But, like, it was just Overeem blasting with straight knees, really,
he
wasn't
actually
it?
He got tagged a little bit. Like, you know, Overeem's not difficult to back up to the fence.
Mm.
And, like, he was pretty, like, Olenek was just kind of like a, just bowling overhands, really. But, like, he stung Overeem a little bit. But, like, he just doesn't have, like, a lot of, like, blitz or athleticism about him. Like, he would sting Overeem and then they'd kind of just, like, look at each other for a little bit. And he just plods off to the fence. And then it was just kind of like, there's not a lot of layer to what he was doing. Like, just plodding forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then Overeem just eventually just gets that, like, whatever the MMA commentators call, like, you know, the tie clinch, which just means wrapping both hands over the back of a guy, or the double plum, whatever they like to call it, because that's all clinching is in MMA, is just grabbing somebody's head. Yeah, just stung knee up the middle and then just wobble a little, went back for more. Overeem's knees are pretty dead. He hasn't worked out, like, the Overeem knees.
for a little while. Oh, yeah. It's been a minute since we've seen over him.
He's fucking legit killed some people with
it. Yeah. They kind of brought it back with the Mark Hunt fight, I think. Like, the audio in that one is kind of disgusting. It's a little bit more of the same. Just knee up the middle and just knee him into debt.
That's it. Yeah. Like, you know, like, Olenek was a late replacement for this fight as well. But, like, it's... I don't know, it's like we talked about before, like that Ezekiel check, it's just a bizarre move, especially in MMA. It's like, it's like, it's not like people like Paul Met everyone again. I've never seen Ezekiel done except for this guy.
Yeah. He hasn't fluked it. Mm. I mean, he sets it up every time. He's got it three times at least, hasn't he?
In the UFC.
In the UFC.
Yeah, outside of it, like a million times as well. Yeah. It's, I guess it's like, you know, well, how would you explain Ezekiel check if people don't know?
If you're wearing a gi, it's one arm behind the neck. And you're going to feed your fingers deep into the sleeve, and then you can either make a knife hand or with your fingers bent or a fist. And it's like scissoring. It's like, how do I explain it? You put your fingers inside the sleeve, make a tight grip, and put that, the free hand is going to go in front of the neck or throat, and you're going to make a fist or a scissor hand, just sort of scissor motion it closed. So you can do it a similar motion without using the gi, without using the sleeves, by putting your arm behind the neck, grabbing your bicep, and then the free hand is going to be in front of the neck with right in the same motion, just making a fist or just crunching it in there.
Well, I guess it's like if you do a rear naked choke, but you're facing them.
Sort of, yeah. Like that. Yeah, it's a rear naked choke from the front, sort of. Although you can do it from behind as well, so... Yeah, anyway.
Most people prefer it from behind.
That's true. Scissoring with your arms from behind. It's still an Ezekiel.
But I guess it didn't work on over him this time. Because, like, he gets caught people because, I guess, like, you know, a lot of people go, I'm not going to be that fucking dude that gets caught. And, like, he's getting set up again. Yeah, I'm not worried here. And then all of a sudden, go, wait a minute.
Yeah, knock it off, buddy.
I think over him, like, little clips, I seen, like, he was just kind of nudging his head out in the way of, like, basically before he can get the hand scissoring going off of that.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, and then it just became a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
Just crack and way forward, crack. And then eventually, like, you know, over him just goes, ah, fuck, I'm going to grab him. And just need the shit out of this dude. I was hoping, like, you know, because, like, Olenek's got the Ezekiel check. We're going to see the famous Overeem guillotine back again. He goes, it's like, you got to pull guard on me? No, I'm going to pull guard on you. And go there.
Yeah.
Same thing. He's fucking, he's slept some dudes with guillotines also. Yeah. He's just got a nasty guillotine.
Yeah.
Nah. Didn't work in that Stipe fight though.
He fell the tap.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's like, God, yeah. All right. So let's talk about the ladies match as well. So we had, was it Roxanne Morafari?
Yeah, versus Antonina.
Antonina Shevchenko. The older sister of Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah, who made the move to MMA later.
Mm. I think she, like, before, like, you know, like, because she made it so late, she was still doing Muay Thai.
Doing a lot of Muay Thai, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lion Fight, Muay Thai World Champion, which is virtually meaningless, but also WMC Muay Thai World Champion, like, legit.
Legit. That's fair. But, so, like, yeah, like, in the end, like, Roxanne Morafari won this from there, and this is, like, a huge upset.
I guess it's one of those ones, though, you look at it, like, it was definitely considered to be an upset, and, like, people seem to be surprised by it, but when you kind of look at it, like, in terms of actual MMA experience, maybe it was just, like, maybe the UFC got behind Antonina Shevchenko because she's a Shevchenko a little bit too quickly.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't seem too far-fetched that someone... Like, how many fights has Roxanne had? Like, 30-plus?
Something like that. Yeah. A huge amount of experience.
A veteran like that. Mm. Like, you know, Antonina obviously a lot of experience in Muay Thai, but, you know, foolish to discount the veteran savvy.
I think Roxanne went into it pretty underrated. If that was their estimation of the fight, then they weren't paying attention. She's got huge experience, and she stuck to her game plan, too. She wouldn't stand at range. I'm going to stand at arm's length of the kickboxer. Yeah, that's a good idea. Nah, she didn't do that. She closed the distance, and she worked it the whole time in the clinch.
Mm-hmm. So, is that what the fight was won? It was mainly clinching and takedown?
Yeah, she worked the takedown and a lot of ground stuff as well, and she's clearly more experienced on the ground.
So I guess it's just like a sister, Valentina, from there. Pretty strong ground game, like in terms of, like, you know, top control. Like she's like very just physically strong. You can see, like, you know, when she first Jin Jatek, she just took it down, and when she got it down as well, it's like, nope, you stay here. But I guess, like, the other way around it, Antonina,
Antonina,
okay. From there, it's like just doesn't have the same chops and experience just yet. Yeah. That one. But like, right, hey, this is a good learning fight. But still, like, yeah, like, you know, what, 34, 33? Now she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, mid 30s from that one.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like, you know, just got to make a move, got to learn those holes in the game from there.
It was a split decision, wasn't it? I think it was a split decision. So it wasn't one-sided.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't a walkover fight from either one.
I just read a lot of play-by-plays on it from there. And, like, all of them, like, a lot of people just scored it for Roxanne pretty clear-cut.
Yeah.
I guess, like, when you're fighting, like, in Russia as well, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I guess, but, like, then again, I think they're from Peru, the Shevchenkos. Like, their name just sounds Russian. African. Yeah, chuck them on there.
Close enough.
Close enough. All right. Was there any other interesting fights on that card that anyone watched?
I didn't watch any others.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. It was a Russian card.
Yeah.
It was like, what, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Some of the recaps I read, though, said there were some good, decent quality fights.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, some legit fights on there, even though there weren't really a whole lot of ranked fighters on the card. I'm not too sure. I read that UFC are now doing a partnership deal with M1 Global. So yeah, that gives them access to M1 fighters. So I'm guessing there are quite a few M1 fighters on the card.
Mm.
I feel like M1 does a show like every 5 minutes. Yeah. So I feel like everyone coming out of Russia is for an M1.
Yeah.
But is M1 kind of like, you know, what Jungle Fights is in Brazil?
A little bit. There's a bit of that. Yeah. But M1 does medieval fights.
Oh.
So
they have that
over Jungle Fight. They have just beating the shit out of each other with swords.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah, I haven't seen one for a while.
I never go a day without thinking about it.
It's like how I spend my free time.
I love that, like those role playing guys, those LARPers.
Mm.
Live action role playing.
No, it's like a bit more like they actually get in the. I think everyone's still a ring. Is everyone still a ring? I think it's still in a ring.
Yeah, I think it's still a ring.
Yeah.
But they actually have like sanctioned fights, like pad up in suits of armor. Beat the fuck out of each other with swords and stuff.
Is it edged? They have edged. They don't stab each other, mate. There's
no, like, I don't know.
It's not edged. Not edged weapons.
It's swords, but like, yeah, it's not like, you know, they're slicing each other, but like, you know,
they're just hacking at each
fucking
other.
Fucking really hurt. Yeah. It'd be funny, like, it just hits and goes, oh, shit.
You caught my pinky. What the fuck?
Oh, Russia. All right, cool. So let's go ahead of that. So coming up this weekend from here on UFC, UFC Fight Night, we have Jacare versus Jack Hermanson. And yeah, that's the main event from there. And
Usada ruined this fight.
Hmm?
This is a really funny looking Yoel Romero versus Paulo Costa.
Yeah. So let's talk about that fight a little bit. So like, you know... Renato de Souza, also known as Jacare, which I think means crocodile.
Yeah.
In Portuguese.
Alligator.
Close
enough.
If we're going to get
through. It's like,
actually, yeah. It's probably
canine. If you ever wondered why, like, you know, basically, yeah, Jacare, like, walks the ring, like, clapping his hands. like
gator.
And walking and, like, just sliding around on his belly a bit. Now you know. Just kind of playing into the alligator role.
Is that why they were in Florida?
Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is it Florida?
I think it is.
Oh, it is, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shit, man. They're really kind of leaning into it hard. All right. So, like, you know, decisions like, you know, veteran of the game from there, like, in, like before this, like, you know, was, like, you know, a world champion jiu-jitsu player. But, and then, like, transitioned into MMA, relying a little heavily on his jiu-jitsu at the beginning. But now he's kind of developed, like, a not a bad kind of striking game now.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, you know, really fucking powerful.
Yeah, super powerful. Super powerful.
Hard to take down and keep down.
Explosive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gas tank? I don't know.
I don't think his gas is good in the late rounds.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a 5-round fighter, really.
That comes with being as explosive and just kind of jacked as Jacare is.
Yeah, that's it. It's like with a big motor, got to use up a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
So he's fighting Jack Hermanson from there, who's on a really good run himself from there. So let me just pull it up. Jack Manson from Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay. So where's his? Okay. So 1, 2, 3. So he's on a three fight win streak. So his last loss, like the last time he lost, was on UFC Fight Night 119 in 2007 against Thiago Santos. From there,
it was in 2007 though.
Yeah. 2017. 17.
I didn't think he was that old.
And then, like, then he went on, like, he's gone on a pretty good streak, and he's, like, been finishing people as well. So, Thales Lites, ground and pound in the third round, Gerald Mushak, guillotine choke in the first round, and David Branch, surprisingly, from there, like 1 minute in, guillotine choke as well in the first round. You see, like, a lot of his wins from there. He's had a few decisions, but also a lot of ground and pound decisions as well, and punch as well, so he's got good power, and seems to have a really good wrestling background as well, so, like, which I think we talked about, like, when he did fight David Branch from there, like, you know, his ground game seems to be pretty not top-notch, which is, like, you know, we're talking about, like, is Sweden, like, a really grappling-centric kind of place?
I think they're developing that way. Mm. I think, like, Sweden and Norway and Finland, they've got
well, they held the ADCCs, did they, last time?
Yeah. So they do, they've got a strong grappling scene there, for sure.
Yeah. So this should be a really interesting fight from there. Anyone, what are we going to pick? Well, how do you think it's going to go down?
What's his name? Hermanson's grappling is sort of a Greco-Roman style. So he'd like to be in the clinch standing up. Jacare wouldn't want to stay there in the clinch with him necessarily because he likes to trip and dirty box. Mm-hmm. So if he's in the clinch and he breaks it, he can expect some uppercuts. So he probably wouldn't want that. Jacare probably drop for a blast double, more freestyle. I think he's more like a freestyle wrestling style. Jacare's wrestling has improved heaps over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
With Hermanson, if he clinched with him and tripped him and got him down, he would stay on top. He'd be a really hard guy to get off top, and then he'd ground and pound. That's what I reckon. He wouldn't necessarily go for a submission on Jacare because he knows how to escape them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how I think it would play out if he got what he wanted, but I don't think Jacare will let that happen.
Mm.
He'll show Jacare does switch stances. I know he's orthodox, but he will switch to southpaw when he wants to. And he's got a big right hand. If he clips him with that early on, it could be over.
Definitely. Yeah. So if you look at, like, Jacare's, like, record coming up to this from here, so from 2017, he's, like, he lost against Robert Whittaker, head kick punch and kicks in the second round there. That was a pretty controlling fight by Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
That one. One against Derek Lewis, where he head kicked and punched him in the first round. took note from Robert Whittaker's one.
Derek,
I guess
it was Derek Brunson.
Derek Brunson. Yeah.
He didn't fight the black piece.
Yeah. Oh, what a fight that would be. It'd be ultra jacked for that.
Yeah, don't count it out. Yeah.
Then he went to get Kelvin Gastelum from their split decision. I don't know if that fight. That was like. It could have
that
gone
was an
swing.
Icky one, yeah.
They could have swung either way, that one. There. And then the last one he had was against Chris Wildman. One of the punches in the third round. So you can see, like, he's I guess from the Robert Whittaker fight, from there, like, he's just really improved his striking a lot. Even the Kelvin Gastelum, he was going striking pretty well, also of that. Coming up from there against Jack Hermanson, I think maybe just the experience factor.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and maybe the power factor and, like, you know, and the grappling shots. But then again, David Branch, he got submitted too. Mm. I think it's one of those ones, like, you know, especially in the early going, Jack Hermanson's, like, probably can match him strength for strength from there. As the fight wears on, it's who manages the gas tank a bit better for that. But I'm probably going to lean towards Jacare myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacare.
Yeah. Yeah. About yourself, you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think kind of comes down to, like, I can see Jack Manson just not wanting to tie up with Jacare at all, like, wanting to stay on the feet. He's got just such, like, an awkward, jerky striking style. Like, I can see him kind of hopping onto something. Mm-hmm. Like, if Jacare just kind of plants his feet and fires something down the barrel, like, I can see the way that, like, he kind of just hops in with those side kicks and those, like, really long, kind of just, like, sweeping punches from the outside.
Yeah.
I can kind of just see, like, Jacare just letting him engage and running him onto something. Like, I think Jacare can win on the feet.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. But, like, yeah, that should be a pretty good main event from there. There's also another main event there, but I don't know. If you want to talk about it, it's Greg Hardy, though.
Nah, fuck
you.
It's
like, we can probably pass that one. This is a banger, though. Mike Perry versus Alex Oliveira.
I like it.
God damn, that's a banger.
That'll be a banger.
Yeah, it's like, I think I'd probably pick the cowboy in this.
Mm.
Just a bit of Don Dasso in the early going.
Yeah.
But, like, they basically, like, strength for strength, and, like, you know, they're both more lean towards a striking style, both of them, especially Perry.
Is there a better cheater than
or a more prolific cheater than... I feel like he's kind of like this generation's Paul Harris.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like he does not mind a
little... Yoel Romero, like, he's done a few things. Romero's
pretty bad.
He's on there. Yeah. But like, yeah, Oliveira doesn't mind grabbing shorts, doesn't mind grabbing the fence. You know?
He loves it. He's a bit of a brawler, right, on his feet. Yeah. I think he is. He pushes forward, but I think Perry's got a bit more... He's a bit more technical, right? I think he's a bit more technical.
But, like, it's like, yeah, I don't know, like... How they both wear a punch. I think it's almost like who could wear a bit better coming into this than there. Ooh, I don't know.
I'm going to go Perry on this.
Yeah, Perry?
Mm. So he's not a Brazilian.
We'll see. Let's see if he edited your words or not. What about you here?
I really don't know. Maybe... Yeah, I'll back the other cowboy.
The other cowboy? Yeah, I think I'm going to back the other cowboy as well. It's like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, like, even though, like, Alex Oliveira is a dirty fucking cheat, I still like him, because he just brings it.
Yeah.
Mike Perry's just, I don't know, he's just...
Mike Perry's one of those dudes, hard guy to pick, like, if I had some money to put down on anyone, don't think I could ever confidently put it on.
Mm.
Like, he's just, look, neither of these guys are master tactician, but definitely not Mike Perry. Like, I don't think anyone would ever describe him as a smart fighter.
Nah, definitely not.
It won't be a boring fight.
Underneath that, there's another kind of pretty good match in terms of, like, if you're going to have bangers from there. So you've got in the light heavyweight class, you've got Glover Teixeira versus, is that Ion? Is that his
name? I think it's pronounced Ian, I'm not too sure.
Kubalabra. Anyway, but I think he's just coming back, Kutalaba, and from a drug suspension, I'm pretty sure.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Nah, we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go down to GNC, you just take their word for it.
Supplements, yeah, those tainted supplements are everywhere.
But like, both these guys are bangers. Like, in terms of, like, you know, just like strong strikers from there. I'll probably say this ends in the first two rounds from that. But gotta say, Teixeira, looking pretty old nowadays.
Yeah,
true.
Looking pretty old. Can still kind of pull like these are the type of fights they can still kind of pull some victories out of. Anyone in the top five, even though like light heavyweight's just not that great.
Yeah.
Or any middleweight that's going up, like to light heavyweight, you probably wouldn't win against either. From there. Guys, have got a pick for this fight?
I'll go with Glover for this one.
Glover?
Yeah. I think the experience.
Experience?
Mm.
Cool. Yeah,
see how much he's juicing.
I think he actually won his last fight, but
he almost died. And then he
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then he pulled out the arm triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hail Mary, arm triangle.
Yeah, it was a fucking Hail Mary. Mm. Damn. I thought he was just like, he was done.
Yeah.
The referee just gave him the benefit of the doubt. He goes, hey, he ain't dead yet. He's Glover, man. He'll come back.
He's a war horse.
Give him some fucking respect. All right. Who are you picking here?
I don't know anything about this fight, but I picked the other guy.
Yeah, because yeah, I think I'm going to go with Kudalaba as well.
You have to be so difficult.
Yeah. And if I'm looking down this card, I was like, damn, Andre Arlovsky's on this card as well. This is an old man card.
Yeah. He's 40 now.
Yeah, he looks every bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, he looks it.
Jim Miller's on this card also. Holy crap. Court McGee.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Paul McGee, yeah.
Gilbert Burns is on there.
Gilbert Burns, yeah. There's some surprising names on here, but, like, yeah, it's an old card, man.
Mm.
Like, you know, and isn't, like, Florida the retirement state in
America? Yes.
Ben Saunders? I thought he actually did retire.
I thought Ben Saunders retired, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, okay. I kind of wish he would. How many times has he been knocked out now? Six times?
Too many? It's like, yeah, man.
He's been knocked out heaps.
10th plant don't work, bro. That's... No one just punches to your face. All right, cool.
Hubba guard.
All right, so that's the UFC Fight Night, also known as now, I guess it's UFC on ESPN Plus, number 8, Jacko versus Hermanson. All right. So that does for a little bit of UFC talk. We actually have a one championship coming up. We could probably get another podcast in before that, but I don't trust me getting it uploaded in time because it's on Friday from there. But, like, we can talk about this one a little bit. So, this is, like in terms of, like, if we're looking at, like, Muay Thai action, this is really good.
Yeah.
From there. There's a couple. MMA ones, don't really know them too much from there. I just see one name, and I'm like, Yushin Mikami. So, I'm just going, it's not going to be good. from there, especially as Yushin Akami. But let's just talk about some of the Muay Thai fights that are on here. Anyone in particular you want to start with here?
The ones I kind of know about are these top two. These really have piqued my interest. I know names, but learning like guys I've seen before, it's not something like I'm really well studied on. But the actual main event of the card is a Muay Thai title fight that I'm super interested in. And we've got kind of a rising Australian style Tyler Hardcastle fighting as well. So either of those two fights I'm pretty interested in. Tyler Hardcastle, just we talked about at length really, it kind of is coming off, I guess, like a breakout win. Like, I think people who have been following the Australian scene, like, you know, people that know what's going on know Tyler's, like, coming into his last fight was already Australia's number one welterweight, I think. Like, it's just been scoring sweet head kick knockouts all over the country. Just, like, tricky southpaw with a wicked kicking style. But stepped up to the main event of Rebellion to take on, like, a kind of global superstar, a massively experienced former Channel 7 Tiger Cement tournament champion, which for the uninitiated, that's a massive title in Thailand, Samapech Fairtex, who was already an established fighter in one championship, been smashing guys over there, but he's got like a clause in his contract where he can come over and fight on Rebellion in Australia. So Tyler stepped up to take that fight, and not a lot of people were picking him. Like, a lot of people you talk to would be like, you know,
rightly so.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, people were a little bit, you know, either unfamiliar with Tyler or, you know, thought it remained to be seen how his wins against the best guys in Australia stacked up against an established global star like Samapet. And Tyler ran over Samapet. I don't think there was anything in that.
Like, no, it was like, it was a pretty decent win. In terms of, like, you know, like, when you're looking at it, go, like, okay, that's pretty clear-cut who won that fight.
Yeah, and he was just too slick and too clean for Samapet. And I think we were talking, even on this show, after that fight, about how, like, I think Tyler probably opened some eyes around the world to, like, that he's world-class in that fight. And we were like, straight after that fight, we both said he should sign with ONE now.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, it was announced that he'd sign. But not an easy task right off the bat in Yoppanamoong Jipmongno, who's like one of Thailand's top guys. He's come into ONE already. Look good, I believe, former Lumpini champion. Not going to be an easy night's work. Like, Yoppanamoong is slick, very like tricky fighter. A guy who, like, I like the way this fight lines up. It's in the little gloves, and Tyler can throw hands really well. Got a good left cross down the pipe. I think maybe that I'd have to double check this. Like, I watched a lot of Yoppanamoong, but I watch a lot of fights. I believe they're both southpaw. So it'll be interesting to see how that stacks up. And, you know, this is just a good technical match, really. Like, and just a good, like, none of these Australian guys are going to ONE, like we've said heaps of times. There's no layup. Like, no one, they're not really being brought in as though, like, the promotion's interest is, like, building them. It's like a real throw to the wolves kind of thing. But, like, you know, I think if Tyler can put on the performance that he just did against Samapet, I think he proved that he's ready for anything. And, like, I know a lot of people around the show are really excited to see this for Tyler.
Because it's basically, it's like, you know, like, most ONE is a showcase for Tyres from there, which is fine. You know, they need to be, like, recognised a bit more in the global scene. But also, like, you know, like, this is the first, like real chance that, like, you know, like a foreign fighter, like, can really maybe upstage a Tyre from there. It's like, you know, anyone else in the scene, like, the order's too tall for a lot of them from that ONE. Like, you know, the closest he got to was, like, you know, George Mann. He went really good in this fight. And so, like, you know, basically, Joe Nadal decided to open a can of whoop-ass on him.
Actually a stablemate of Tyler's.
Yeah.
He's George Mann.
So, like, yeah, both boys are from, like, a Riddler's gym.
Yeah,
like,
trained under the legendary Dan Reese.
Dan Reese and Kaylee Reese.
Yeah.
From there. But, like, yeah, like, you know, something's happened in that gym or in Perth in general, because they just produce, like, really good Muay Thai fighters.
Yeah, they're, like, a championship caliber team. That's world-class gym. Is Riddler, and I think
there's nothing else to do in Perth. It's Canberra by the sea.
And Thailand's just over the water.
Close. Yeah, it's pretty close.
A little paddle away.
Yeah.
It's like us going to, you know, Queensland.
Same thing.
Cool.
Yeah, but really keen for that fight. I think, that's just going to be a good technical battle.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So also on this card as well, so this card, like, it's going to be on next week, Friday. It's a Jakarta show from that ONE. It's called For Honor, and we got the main event. So main event is like a flyweight Muay Thai world title from there. So, like, we've got a current champion, was it Sam A?
Yeah.
And then versus an English guy that's been looking really good from there, Jonathan Haggerty.
Yeah, Jonathan Haggerty's been one of my favourite guys to watch over the last couple of years. I saw a few of his fights on, he was really sort of product of the Yokow shows in the UK, which are really good sort of like brand building kind of show over there. Like if you can go on a good run on Yokow, it's a good kind of promotional push, like good exposure from Yokow. He had some really good wins there. And also some tough losses against a lot, but where... You know, he was really built up through that show. Like, he kind of... That was a show that gave him the opportunity to prove, far and away, he was, like, the UK number one. Like, really smashed some of the top guys over there in the UK. But then got to fight guys like Superlek, Gout, Munayan, who he had a good showing against. Like, a really good five-round showing.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly before coming to one. And then, I think he just had the one debut performance against Joseph Lazeri in one championship. But that was a slick fight. And yeah, he showed a lot of the tools that he's got. I really like this match. Jonathan Haggerty's got a beautiful kind of like a blitzing and very elbow centric style. Like he likes to set a couple of weapons, assert himself long. Like he's got some wicked high kick KOs. Then he works off of some really nice, like very strategic feints and then can kind of burst through. Like kind of makes you bite on something and then just once he finds his spot, shoots through and it's just all action there. Scored a sweet elbow knockout or something. Knockdown on Joseph Lazeri off of like a fake. The teep just brings the attention high and then drives the elbow down. Yeah, awesome style. And then Sam A. Gangendao is a legend of Muay Thai, like multiple time stadium champion who kind of got a rebirth through one championship. I think he was the first Super Series champion that they named.
Yeah, I think so.
One from Sergio Wilson, I believe. Tough Dutchman. And Sam A's style, I guess this is one of those fights where it could be something of a changing of the guard. Like, that's what you look at from Haggerty's end. Like, can Sam A still hang against a hungry young guy like Jonathan? For the most part, in recent fights, he's proved that he can.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got this like beautiful kicking style. He's in a lot of these viral videos, him just throwing a stupid number of kicks on the pads in 30 seconds or whatever it is. Just lightning fast kicker.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good... I guess I like to call it like a redirecting style, like against a hard. He deals with aggression really well. He'll mark the hands, link up for like, not typically one for like prolonged clinching exchanges, but he will latch onto the hands, steer, break out and kick or elbow out of those clinches. So it'll be interesting to see, I guess, if Jonathan can stick to his guns and try to kind of burst through what Sam A wants to do. But this should be a good all action fight with the style that we know Sam A has over the years and just kind of the techniques that Jonathan Haggerty brings to the table. But also, like, someone of Jonathan's experience, like, had a lot of amateur fights in the UK, I believe, but not, I think he's had 14, maybe, professional fights. So you don't know what he's going to bring to the table, like, still developing. And, yeah, he's just got this really, got a good eye, very sleek, and he's just got that commitment to his work and confidence in his work. I would describe him as having a confident style, where you just don't know what he's going to bring to the table, what his play for this fight's going to be. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how someone like Jonathan tries to solve the puzzle of Sam A, especially with that kind of experience of taking a close loss to Superlek and things like that, like how he's built from there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it should be good. And like I said, like the Muay Thai's like taking the main spot a few times now, which is good to see. And yeah. Was there one more fight you want to talk about from there on the Muay Thai side of things, or just meh?
I don't know a heap about the other fight. I know I've seen Andrew Miller and Mahmoudi fight a bit.
He's got a quick turnaround rate, Mohammed, it seems.
He fights a lot, yeah. Very aggressive. Moroccan, is from Morocco?
Malaysia.
Malaysia. Yeah. Fights like a Moroccan. It's like super aggressive.
But like, yeah, it should be a good fight to watch. So remember, always like download the one app from there and just catch it from in the next week or so. All right. Cool. And was there anything else? Come on.
Don't think so.
Nah, bit of a short one today, which is fine.
That's all right.
Gotta let Hugh rest. He's gonna make weight tomorrow.
How nice of me to still do a podcast the day before, man.
Ah, that's it. We are blessed.
I'm a giver. Yeah.
Hashtag blessed. All right. Cool. So remember the. Always subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, every other platform for podcasting you can think of. Follow us on Instagram at EnterTheDoubleDragon. Follow us on Twitter at @double_enter from there. And I'll probably think about like making some calls and try and get some guests on from there. Maybe even Elias. That'd be good. Cause Elias would be good. Yeah, he works for one of the best wrestlers in the world. We've had we had coaches, fighters, promoters. Haven't had an official yet. Other than Andrew, but like he does everything though.
Yeah,
we want someone that's that's their job, just officiating from that one. I might have stole it off Sai because I listened to Sai's podcast.
I thought that might have been very podcasting. But it's easy for us to get Elias than it is.
Yeah, he's a local.
Yeah.
He's a local. All right, cool. But other than that, that's it to us. Thanks for listening to us.
See ya.
Yeah.